What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 99, where we're going to discuss the topic of how to get back on track after slipping up on your nutrition. When it comes to nutrition for a physique-related goal, such as losing body fat, building muscle, or recomping, your consistency and adherence to your diet are the key fundamental principles that underlie whether you'll achieve the results you desire or not. One of the main things that undermines many individuals' ability to achieve their physique-related goals, especially the goals of losing body fat, getting lean, and staying lean, is dietary deviations and slip-ups, which every one of us has engaged in some point. However, many allow one dietary slip-up to snowball into days of going off plan, and over time, when you repeat those actions, they can become ingrained as a bad habit, which will inevitably limit your ability to continue making progress and will bottleneck your ability to improve your body composition, your health, and your likelihood of reaching your goals. Slip-ups are something that can occur in any physique-focused phase or season of life, yet they tend to happen most frequently either during or right after a fat loss phase, which is why so many people struggle with getting lean and why even fewer individuals maintain the fat they've lost after they finish the dieting phase itself. And although many look at the process of dieting for fat loss as a physically challenging journey, it is also a mental challenge, as your mindset during a physique transformation journey can either make or break your ability to succeed, as your mindset influences the decisions you make and also how you perceive and respond to obstacles that will inevitably come along the way. In order to overcome the challenges and obstacles that come along with dieting, we need to focus on the following variables. The first one is focusing on habit change and behavior modification. If your goal is to get better results and achieve a better body composition than you have currently or than you've achieved in the past, you cannot keep doing what you've been doing and engaging in the same habits you've been doing and expect to get a different and better result. In order to achieve better, we must do better. And this requires improving upon your current dietary habits and behaviors in order to set yourself up for success, as continuing to engage in habits that don't serve you only make the goal attainment process more difficult and more challenging than they already are. This also means learning how to incorporate healthier habits that are aligned with your goals, such as tracking your nutritional intake instead of just winging it, incorporating more physical activity into your daily routine, and making healthier swaps, such as drinking more water and or diet drinks instead of calorie-laden drinks like soda, juice, and alcoholic beverages. The next one is focusing on preparation, so you're less likely to be in a situation where you're unprepared and slip up as a result of that. And one of the most effective ways to ensure you remain successful on a diet is to meal prep. By preparing your food and bringing it with you, whether that be to work or to events, or just, you know, have it at home and in a place where it's easily accessible to you, it will ensure that you have what you need when you need it. This will help make sure that you stay within your daily calorie budget and targets and that you're fueled with high quality nutrients instead of having to opt for a subpar meal alternative when you're out at work or you're at an event and hunger strikes. The last component is to not allow one slip up to initiate a downward spiral. We're all humans and we're susceptible to making mistakes, especially when it comes to our nutrition and our dietary decisions. And although it is fine to mess up, what's not acceptable is to allow one small slip up, such as having a meal off plan or having to swap out a few food sources in a meal because you've run out of the food sources that you generally use. And what's not acceptable is to allow that to become a bad habit that you continue throughout the rest of that day or that week, as that's only going to move you further away from your goals, which is what we're going to focus on in today's episode, because dietary deviations and slip-ups are something that many struggle with. And what often occurs is that one slip-up becomes this downward spiral where they start to catastrophize essentially what has happened, and it holds them back from making progress because in their minds, essentially, they see one dietary deviation as they failed or that they fucked up. And then what that mindset or that perspective on things causes is it causes them to catastrophize the situation and actually leads them to feel guilty and then engaging in more of those habits, which actually make the situation and the circumstances even worse. So one small slip up becomes this massive deviation away from the habits and behaviors that are going to serve you best and leave you or lead you towards your goals. So that's what we're going to be covering on today's podcast. The first thing I want to cover on this episode is to define what a slip up is. As I found that depending on a client's personality type, and the standards that they hold themselves to, clients and individuals as a whole will view slip-ups differently. And some don't even realize they've been slipping up, whereas others believe they've engaged in a slip-up when in actuality, it wasn't something substantial enough to actually be defined as a slip-up. So a slip-up is an acute lapse in your goal-directed nutrition behaviors and decisions. The most common example of a slip-up is when you eat far in excess of your nutritional targets, whether that be as a result of going out to a restaurant and choosing meal options that aren't compatible with your current physique goals and calorie and macro budgets, or when you simply eat more in a meal or in a day than you had planned, and it either negates the calorie deficit you've created for that day or even for that week, which is something that many who incorporate cheat meals end up doing, as these meals are so calorie packed that they can easily undo the deficit you've created. And the reason it's important to define what a slip up is and to understand that it's an action that isn't aligned with the nutritional targets that are set to help you attain the current physique and health goals that you're striving towards is because there are so many who slip up frequently and they don't even realize it, which is one of the main reasons why they report struggling with losing weight and keeping it off. And then there are others that are at the opposite end of the spectrum who are so hard on themselves that they think that they've slipped up when in actuality they haven't. And that's often due to having unrealistic expectations as to the standards they should hold themselves to and having this perfectionist striving mentality where they're really thinking that they have to be 100% on everything or they have to aim for perfection rather than progression. So for example, there are many individuals who only track their dietary intake at meals, but they don't track things such as snacks, bites, licks, and tastes that they take throughout the day. And as a result of engaging in these mindless eating habits, which all have calories in them, they're adding up across the course of days and weeks. And what ends up happening is they're left wondering why they aren't making the progress they desire. And they also report that they've been being completely adherent. But due to a lack of awareness around their eating habits and behaviors outside of meals, they're frequently slipping up and taking in extra calories, whether that be from snack foods, from bites, licks and tastes, taking things off their like kids' plate and just finishing their kids' food. It could be taking in or cooking with oils, you know, consuming things like creams, sauces, condiments, dressings, coffee creamers, etc., that they just aren't accounting for. So in their minds, they're saying, yes, I'm sticking to the diet at my meals. I'm nailing those targets that I have set. However, they're not taking into consideration all the excess calories that they're taking in throughout the course of the day, which they're not tracking. So it's not coming in through MyFitnessPal chronometer that they're going over their targets, but they're hundreds of calories over their actual nutritional targets. And here's the thing. Calories always count. So whether you track them or not, calories count. And so when it comes down to it, a lot of times these individuals think they're eating far less than they are, and this could be a very frustrating situation. However, there are also clients of mine who have extremely high standards for themselves and who will express that they fell off, you know, the past week. And when I ask them to expand further on what they mean by that, they'll say that they missed a meal or a training session. So if you eat, say, four meals per day, that's 28 meals across the course of the week, meaning if you miss one meal because you get busy at work or busy with your kids or you fell asleep early or something came up, that's literally 1/28th of your nutrition plan and around 4% of your week, which isn't going to make or break anything within the span of a week. Plus, when it comes to dieting for fat loss, if you miss a meal, yet you are still in line with your calorie and macro targets for that day and for that week as a whole, missing one meal over the course of the past week isn't going to slow down your fat loss progress, as it's actually the opposite behavior, meaning that it's essentially the opposite of what many people do when they slip up, which is to eat in excess of their targets, which is what causes stalls in fat loss. So if you were to miss a meal and say that you only were able to make up for the protein portion of that meal, so every meal you eat four meals per day, you eat 40 grams of protein per meal, and in one of your meals, you miss meal three, and you just make up for that by eating 80 grams of protein in your last meal, you're still hitting your nutritional targets. You may be a little bit under in your calorie, in your carbohydrate, in your fat totals for the day, but you're still in an energy deficit. You're still within the habits and behaviors nutritionally that are going to drive you towards the goal of fat loss. Whereas a true slip up is when you go over those targets and it derails your ability to continue making progress at the rate of progress that you should be if you had been aligned and consistent with your targets and the habits and behaviors that are going to drive you towards that process of losing body fat at an effective rate. So next, I want to cover why some individuals tend to slip up on their nutrition more than others. Although I think we all have had times in our lives where we've slipped up on our nutrition, there tends to be certain individuals who are far more predisposed to engaging behaviors and habits that take them further away from their goals, like deviating, off their diet or away from their diet and their nutrition plan than others. And so I tend to encounter a lot of individuals who contact me for coaching who have spent years, if not decades, trying to diet in an effort to get lean and stay lean. And they've attempted this goal over and over and over again, but have yet to actually sustainably achieve that goal. So they may have lost weight in the past, but they have yet to be able to keep it off. Or they may have kept it off for a very short period of time, but found the methods and strategies that they were utilizing or the diet that they were following to be extremely unsustainable. And many of these individuals have tried fad diet after fad diet and have tried many suboptimal approaches, which have left them struggling to stick to their diet either during the fat loss phase itself or have left them with no exit strategy in place after. So in both cases, they're unable to get as lean as they want to, nor stay as lean as they desire. And a lot of times I notice that these individuals are extremely frustrated with their lack of results, and they've kind of like lost a lot of the belief in themselves and in their actual ability to reach their goals, which can lead to developing a narrative in their heads where they think they aren't capable of attaining a leaner, healthier physique. The issue with these self-limiting beliefs is that they can often become a self-fulfilling prophecy, where your belief or expectation around not being able to succeed in a diet or physique-related goal influences your behaviors, your habits, your actions, and decisions, and causes this expectation to become true, which just reinforces you to believe that you aren't capable of achieving substantial progress even more than you already did previously. And this often results in these individuals engaging in habits and behaviors which sabotage their ability to achieve progress because they're so used to failing that as soon as they hit a roadblock or an obstacle, they say F it, and they fall off the wagon and turn one dietary deviation or off-plan meal into a day of eating in excess or a weekend of binging. And then they do gain weight back, and it makes them feel that they're back at square one, which yet again reinforces their self-limiting beliefs. So this becomes like this vicious cycle that they're on. And many of these individuals will just stay on this fitness failure loop until they're truly ready to make a change. But what I found is when I can get these clients to stop viewing nutrition, training, movement, and fitness in totality in a dichotomous manner, where it's either all or nothing or this black or white thing with no gray area in between, where they're either 100% on plan and aiming to be perfect or completely off plan and left to their own devices, their ability to shift and build both physical and mental resilience to the point that if something does go awry in their day and they need to have an off-plan meal, they're able to approach that meal with a mindset of moderation and choose options that are more in line with their goals and select food sources that are more conducive to keeping them satiated and less likely to turn one meal into a buffet. And this helps them to minimize the damage and continue making progress, which is something they've been unable to do in the past when they've approached these goals, these challenges, these obstacles, and these off-plan meals without guidance from a nutritional professional. And when I work with clients on this, they're also able to view that off-plan meal in the context of what it really is, which is one meal and one meal alone. And then they're able to get back to the plan. As one thing I always try to remind my clients is that you're always just one meal away from being back in track and back on plan. Another thing I think it's really important to realize is that we are not our slip-ups or our fuck-ups or our failures. So don't allow yourself to be labeled by your mistakes of the past because we all have them. And if we're to project the things we've done previously upon ourselves, whether that be in relationships, in business, or especially in the context of nutrition and physique-related goals, we'll never get past those barriers. And often when someone has failed to achieve a goal over and over again, they tend to identify themselves as someone who has been a failure, rather than seeing failure as an obstacle they've encountered before and have yet to successfully navigate around, but could learn a ton from. So you are not your failures, your slip-ups, your mistakes. Your current results may reflect those things and the actions, behaviors, and habits you've been engaging in up until this point, but that isn't who you are. And it's important to realize that, as you need to have the confidence and belief in yourself that you can change and improve to be able to do so moving forward. I really like to get clients to realize that they are high achievers, even if they have yet to achieve that with their physique and with their body composition related goals. As many of the individuals I work with have been massively successful in other areas of their lives and their careers, that yet they haven't attained the physique progress they desire. Yet, if you've been able to succeed in areas of your life, such as your career, in running a business, in your personal relationships, or in running a household and raising children, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that you can succeed in achieving better body composition and better health overall. But just like in other areas of our lives that we wish to get better at, you will need to be consistent. You will need to show up each and every day, even when you don't feel like it and you aren't motivated to do so. And you need to put your best effort into the process to get the best outcomes possible. Because as with all things, you get in or you get out what you put in. And this is especially when it comes to a physique related goal, it really is about time, energy, attention, and effort being invested into the process to be able to reap the return on investment that you have made. But without putting in a ton of effort and really being focused on the process and on doing the things that are going to leave you or lead you closer to your goals, you won't get the results you're looking for. So if you're not all in, you're never going to be able to get the maximum results that you're looking for. And that's what a lot of people that have a previous history of failing neglect to focus on or realize, because they're almost so discouraged by their past experiences that they limit themselves. They have these self-limiting beliefs, and it kind of takes them away from being able to put their all into something, because they always fear that they're just going to fail again. So why should I try? Or why should I give this my entire effort? And that just causes that self-fulfilling prophecy, because you aren't putting your all into it. You aren't being consistent. You aren't being adherent. So the results you're getting are, you know, our outcomes are a result of our inputs. And if you're not putting everything in, you're not going to get exactly what you want out. So it's something to really be cognizant of. So I want to share how I react to clients when they go off plan, as many times I have clients who comment on how different my reaction and response to them deviating off their diet is compared to other coaches who have made them feel like either a failure as a result of having a slip up and have actually made them feel worse and experience more guilt than they already had prior to talking to their coach about it, which just made them not want to disclose that information to their coach the next time it happened. And I would describe my coaching style as being non-judgmental, but an objective coaching style. So when a client slips up, the first thing I do is express gratitude and like a genuine feeling of appreciation for their honesty and transparency that they've shared with me and for taking the first step towards allowing us to improve upon the situation moving forward. And that's because without my client actually acknowledging the slip up and letting me know about it, I can't work on helping them improve upon it moving forward. And I can't help them process the situation in a more objective manner, because oftentimes when someone has slipped up, it's very hard to be objective in that moment and really disentangle the potential reasons, the triggers, and the root causes of that situation. Also, the act of my clients acknowledging like the fact that they've slipped up and having a conversation about it increases their awareness of their actions, their decisions, and their habits around food. And without awareness, we can't work towards true behavior change. I always try to make my clients know that we are a team and that our coaching relationship and process is a collaborative effort. And anyone that works with me always knows that I speak about this in a teamwork manner. It's always like we're essentially both working together towards the same goals. So having an open line of communication is crucial. And that's something I'm honestly very proud of that I have with many of my clients, or the vast majority of my roster, is that especially as we work together, we get past the first phase, we've developed such a close relationship in terms of being open, communicative, transparent, honest, that they can come to me with anything. And they know that I'm going to receive what they're saying. I'm going to hear them out. And then also, I'm never going to judge them on anything. We all make mistakes. We've all had issues and situations and setbacks and obstacles that we've encountered along the way. And I'm not here to judge whatsoever. I'm here to guide. And so really having that type of open communication is something that I think is really lacking in this industry. And I often take consultation calls. So I do Zoom consultations as a separate service for my coaching business. And oftentimes it's newer coaches that are coming to me. And one of the main questions I get asked is, you know, what do you do when clients lie to you? Or what do you do? Like, do you worry about clients lying to you about being, you know, off plan or whatever it may be? And I don't worry about that anymore. And I think that also comes from experience, but I think that I've developed such good relationships with many of my clients that they are truthful and they are very honest with me. And that is something I've earned. So it's not something I worry about, but I often, sometimes like coaches will kind of catastrophize that. And also they'll put that on the client, like, oh, that client's a liar. And oftentimes what we have to look back at is what have we done? What are the preceding circumstances that have made a client feel uncomfortable with telling us things? Now, when you first start working with a brand new client and you first go to a coach, you may not feel comfortable opening up and being transparent with them. And that's understandable. But over time, as you get to know that person, and as I get to know my client and my client gets to know me, we should be able to open and expand our horizon in terms of the conversations we have and how comfortable we are with being open and honest with one another. And that's what I really try to work towards with all my clients. So when I have a client slip up, I focus heavily on first hearing them out and relating to them, as this is something I've experienced myself and also something I've worked through with many clients in the past. So I have experience working through these issues. And despite every person and every individual that I work with being an N of one, there are some commonalities. And then also there are many strategies that I've utilized, I've researched, and then I've also implemented in practice and then tracked the progression or the outcomes from that I'm able to utilize with a client when they come to me with this situation. I also ask them some of the potential underlying reasons and causes of the slip up to bring awareness to what may have triggered the slip up so we can work on mitigating those in the future. However, the one thing I really try to get across to my clients is that a slip up is a simply an acute or momentary lapse in their goal-directed behaviors, but this isn't something to feel guilty about, to get fixated on, or to ruminate on, as that does nothing positive for them and serves literally no benefit. What I really like them to do is to acknowledge the slip up, look for root causes of it, see the slip up for what it is, and to put it in the past and in the rear view so that we can take steps forward to continue making progress towards their goals. The most important part of a slip up is to not get so caught up on that one slip up or one off plan meal that it snowballs into a day of going off plan or weekend of being off plan or a week of just saying F it and veering off course. You need to realize that slip ups happen and what's done is done, but what matters most is how we respond and proceed forward after the slip up that matters most. So, what I really try to get clients to do after we've talked through the slip up is to focus on making their next week more consistent than the prior week was, as that'll allow us to move closer towards their goals. Another thing I highly discourage is having clients try to overcompensate for the quote unquote damage they've done. And this includes making drastic reductions in calorie intake, doing an excessive amount of cardio, or trying to do any type of purging activities to make up for that slip up. And this is something I've seen many other coaches do with their clients. And I've received, I've done consultations with coaches that do these type of implement these type of strategies. But I've also had many clients come to me from other coaches that have been through these experiences. And not only is that a poor form of guidance, but it also makes it seem like a slip up is cause for punishment, which can set clients up to have a poor relationship with food, which can potentially lead them to developing or further exacerbating a binge restrict cycle. So the next thing I want to cover is what to do after a slip up has occurred, as many tend to catastrophize their slip ups, and this can often spiral into a situation where one slip up becomes multiple slip ups, and it's like a downward trajectory from there. So the first thing you want to do after deviating off your diet is to focus on getting past the slip up and trying to look for the lessons that can be learned so that you can apply them to the future. So I personally like to have clients focus on getting back on plan and back on track after a slip up to regain homeostasis and balance, both from a physical and a mental perspective. So we're essentially, this is often what I refer to as a diet reset week, and we're just trying to reset things and get back on track, back on plan, and really aiming for consistency. I often work with clients who have worked with other coaches in the past, and they'll ask me if I recommend cutting their calories and/or increasing their cardio over the next week to try to make up for the slip-up and undo the damage. And I genuinely don't find that to be an effective method. I myself had a coach years ago that anytime I slipped up would always make adjustments to try to compensate for it. And it made it for a very unhealthy relationship with food and exercise, where every time I fell off, even by a little bit, I felt like I was being punished for it. Also, this isn't just something that happened during dieting phases, as this same coach did this during off seasons when I was competing, and I got to the point in one off season where I was eating like 5,000 plus calories a day and literally couldn't stomach any more food. And I had one day where I honestly felt like I was going to puke after every single meal. So the next day, what I did was I cut back the carb portions of each meal. I was eating well over 100 grams of carbs per meal 6 times a day. So I was already in the 800 grams of carbohydrates per day. And I was just feeling extremely stuffed and just nauseous after every meal. So what I did was I cut back the carb portion of each of my meals in half. So it might have been like 120 grams of carbs per meal. I cut it back to 60. And my weight dropped a bit before our next check-in. And when I told him, I was very honest and open about the fact that I was feeling nauseous, I felt sick, and I cut back for one day, keep in mind. And when I told him about the fact that I'd cut back my meals to try to get down the food that I could get without getting nauseous, he increased my food even more that week to try to make up for it, which not only made me feel worse, but also made me feel like he had no regard for how I was feeling and the feedback I was providing him with. And this kind of threw me off because at that point, this had to be 2018. So I'm 5 years into coaching. So I was already experienced. I'd competed 10 plus times at that time. So it wasn't like I was a newbie giving him feedback that I didn't know what was going on. And The other thing is, like, I'm someone who rarely complains or focuses on the negative side of things, as I know that for every gimme, there's a gotcha. And there's a cost to pay for every goal we strive towards, especially when you're in a competition prep, or in this case, I was in an off season getting ready for prior to another season. And here's the thing, like, I had gotten to the point in that off season where I was eating so much damn food that I not only felt physically sick during and after every meal, but it was impacting my sleep quality, my mental cognition, and my ability to perform at work. So there were all these multiple, like, negative consequences that came from me pushing food that high. Yet my coach at that time was so narrow-mindedly focused on the goal of me gaining mass and getting bigger that he completely disregarded how it was impacting all of my other biofeedback metrics. And that's just something I don't believe in. And oftentimes, you know, I've had very good mentors, but I've also had coaching experiences that were less than favorable, to say the least. And I'm not here to speak down on any other coach, but oftentimes when I'm mentoring other coaches, or I work with fitness professionals, or even the clients that I work with, I really take an empathetic approach. I try to see things from where they are. I try to put myself in their shoes, and I try to really relate to my clients. And I think one of the greatest lessons that I learned was I went through a lot of bad experiences early on because I got into fitness so early. I was fitness modeling since 2010, and coaching was very new. So I worked with a lot of coaches that had a big name at that time, and in the years pre and in the years since then. But they didn't always go about things the best way. And that, I'm not here to hold that against them, but I learned through the poor experiences that I had what I never wanted other people to experience. And I often, with my coaching style, I'm trying to make up for the things, the poor experiences that I had with the clients that I had. Because in my mind, if I could do something better going forward, because I've learned from having been put in those situations in the past, I want people to avoid the mistakes and the poor experiences that I had. So I really try to take that forward with my coaching and take the good things that I've learned from coaching experiences and mentorship experiences, and then also the bad things, avoid the bad things, and then really try to integrate better approaches moving forward so that my clients can have the best experience possible. So, to continue with this, what should you do after a slip up has occurred? You want to avoid trying to overcompensate for slip ups. It's one thing for you to slip up and have a massive meal and to not eat your last meal of the night because you ate so much in that off-plan meal that you're still stuffed. So there's literally no appetite or no impetus to continue eating. But it's another thing to slip up one night and then convince yourself that you need to fast the entire next day and to skip all your meals to quote unquote make up for it. And I've had a lot of clients come to me over the years who have engaged in these types of habits and compensatory behaviors prior to us working together. And I can tell you that based off their feedback and the conversations we've had, those types of compensatory habits often led them to struggling with binge restrict cycles, where they'd overeat one day and then feel guilty and off track. So they tried to over restrict the next few days, but then they did so in such a extreme and drastic manner that they were now experiencing higher levels of hunger and greater food focus. And as soon as they had another stressful or emotional event come their way, they'd crack and then they'd binge again and the cycle would start back over. And it led to this vicious cycle where they constantly felt like they were on this hamster wheel, where it was binge restrict. And it was just really unhealthy from a physical and physiological perspective, but also from a mental and psychological perspective. So this is not only physically and mentally unhealthy, but it also takes you further away from your goals, as your physique progress is the result of what you do consistently. So a slip up here and there isn't going to significantly impact your progress if it happens on a rare occasion. However, if this is happening every couple of days or every week, it will drastically impact your results. So it's not about compensating, but rather course correcting, which is why it's important to not let an off-plan meal become an off-plan day, weekend, or week, as your physique goals don't require perfection, but they do require consistent effort over time. The next step would be to reflect back on what happened. So think about, why did this occur? Why did this slip up happen? Because every action is prompted by something. So it's important to think about why the slip up happened. Because let's face it, none of us have just fallen into a pizza or a pint of ice cream and eaten it without something preceding that. So there were several steps it took to get to that place. And some clients report that it kind of just happened. And that's where we have to look for the reasons and triggers that cause it to happen, as it's easy to make excuses for our actions. However, that's a scapegoat that doesn't help us in the long term because it provides no solution. And so, however, if we can find the reasons behind our actions and what caused them to occur, then we can, you know, then we can work towards finding solutions to employ moving forward to help avoid getting into similar situations in the future. It's also extremely important to identify what triggers were present when you slipped up. So these triggers can include, but are not limited to, things like stressors, emotions, feelings, and exposure to different things in your environment, such as food cues, hyperpalatable foods, things of that sort. And over the last 11 years I've been coaching, I can only count on, say, like one hand, to be honest with you, how many times a client has told me that they fell off plan in their first meal after a full night of sleep. When they woke up, they felt well rested. However, I've encountered a ton of clients over the years who have slipped up after a night of poor sleep, and then they went into work and they had a really stressful day at work. And once they came home, they were tired and frustrated. And all of a sudden, they kind of remember that today was meal prep day. And so they have yet to prep their food for the rest of the night as they were unprepared. And due to already being in a bad mental state and exhausted, they've just said F it and rummaged through their pantry or have ordered Uber Eats or they've raided the chocolate drawer. So after determining what happened and what triggers may have caused the slip up, we want to focus on what lessons can we take from this, because really what we want to do is determine how can we get better from this situation. And instead of only focusing on the negatives of the situation, which many people do, they get very hyper fixated on the guilt that they feel and on remorse for their actions and regretting those things, when really that's not a productive way to go about this. We need to try to find the positives from the situation, such as being able to use it as a learning opportunity and using the situation as a way to get better moving forward. And last but not least, you want to put the slip up in your rearview mirror and you want to move on, as hyper fixating on a slip up and feeling overly guilty about it isn't a productive use of our time. So after a slip up, you first want to make sure that you're not punishing yourself or overcompensating for these actions. And next, you want to reflect back on what happened, why it happened, so you can learn from this experience and be better prepared in the future to help avoid this happening again and becoming a reoccurring behavior that eventually gets ingrained into a bad habit. So I want to go through how we can troubleshoot a slip up by giving a common example that I've seen over the years. So say you have a slip up where you indulge in hyperpalatable foods and sweets and consume hundreds, if not thousands, of calories over your daily calorie budget or even your weekly calorie budget, because this is something that can often compound. Like, these foods are hyperpalatable, they're energy dense, they're easy to overconsume. They actually cause passive overconsumption. So this is how I would break this down and try to troubleshoot it. So we had to look first and foremost, what was the action? So the action was eating hyperpalatable foods and sweets. Well, what was the outcome of that action? The outcome is that this individual ate a ton more calories than intended as a result of poor food choice selection and going towards those hyperpalatable foods. And due to these items being less satiating than, say, a whole food source or their regular meal, it drove them to consume more calories. And then due to this massive increase in calories, this resulted in this individual gaining weight, and if continued, will derail them from their physique goals and their targeted rate of progress. So this is why we have to try to look for all these different mediating factors to try to rectify the situation moving forward. And then also from a biofeedback perspective, oftentimes when you're engaging in these habits where you slip up and you eat foods that aren't in alignment with your goals or aren't conducive for your goals, it can often lead to poor biofeedback metrics. So a lot of times this is going to make you experience digestive issues, including like gas, bloating, distension, and inflammation, and water retention in the days that follow the slip up. So you'll often notice that your weight goes up quite precipitously in the days after. So that could be from an inflammatory response from the foods that you had, as well as increased sodium intake, which is going to cause water retention and things of that sort. Next, I want to identify the reason that this happened. So in this case, this client had a long day and they came home and didn't have food prepared that would align with their goals. So they opted for what was easy and convenient. In this case, they had hyperpalatable foods in their environment, in their house. And so they went for those. Now we got to look for a solution. So one solution would be to meal prep ahead of time and batch cook a bunch of your favorite lean protein sources, satiating carb sources, vegetables, and have both fresh and frozen fruit and produce at home so that you don't have to worry about finding something to eat after you've had a long day. Another alternative solution that we can make is making more conducive food swaps and smarter food choice decisions. So, for example, I had a client who recently let me know that after a long day of work, she ended up stopping at the grocery store after work and she picked up a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And initially, she said that her intention was to just have a serving and to try to fit it in her macros. But once she started, she couldn't stop and she ended up eating the whole thing, especially because not only was it really hard for, once it's almost like once you pop, the fun don't stop. But also, she realized that the serving that she could fit into her macros was not going to be satisfying for her. So she initially portioned that out and then she just kept eating, to be honest. And this client struggles with moderating her intake of sweets. And she's a petite woman, so her maintenance calorie intake is only around 1,500 calories per day. So, in actuality, fitting in a pint of Ben and Jerry's into her diet just isn't realistic. as the pint of like she had the pint was Chunky Monkey, and I looked it up to see the nutrition facts, and that's 1200 calories in and of itself. So what I did was I said, listen, if you want to have ice cream, by all means, we can fit that in, but it's not really realistic because you were unsatisfied with the very small serving that you could have within your calorie allotment. However, let's look at this. So I made a suggestion. I told her to opt for a pint of either Halo Top or Enlightened ice cream the next time she wants to fit ice cream in, as say like an entire pint of chocolate Halo Top ice cream. That only has 300 calories in it, and she could eat the whole pint and still fit it within her macro budget. Even if she was only have half that pint, that's 150 calories, which is far easier and more realistic to fit into her daily energy budget than a pint of Ben and Jerry's. So next, I want to cover how to minimize your likelihood of slipping up on your diet in the future, as a slip up is only a problem if it goes both unaddressed and if it's an infrequent occurrence. But if it goes from an infrequent occurrence that you address and mitigate going forward to something that you overlook and you swipe under the rug, you don't tell your coach about, and it becomes a more frequent pattern and habit, this is going to become an issue that's going to derail and bottleneck your ability to make progress moving forward. So the most frequent situation I find many slip up during is when they're going out to eat during a fat loss phase. And restaurant meals can often present an issue during a diet, as most entrees contain far more calories than many would assume or even expect, which is a topic I covered in detail on episode 66 of this show, where I unraveled the truth about restaurant meals and menu errors. As often, restaurant meals can contain up to 245% more calories in them than how they're labeled on the menu. So if this is a topic or this is a habit that you partake in where you go out to eat a lot, whether that be due to just social responsibilities or engagements that you're often involved in, or it's a part of you travel a lot for work, I really suggest you go back to episode 66. But I'm going to cover from the context of how to navigate slip-ups or avoid them moving forward in the context of a fat loss phase where you're out to eat, because this is something that I commonly see be a situation that many run into. So first and foremost, it's important that prior to going out to eat, you put yourself in the best position to succeed and to not overeat during that meal out, which starts with what you do beforehand, which a lot of people overlook. They only think about what happens when I get to the restaurant. Well, let's backtrack a little bit, because often what you've done previous to going out to the restaurant and getting there can either make or break your ability to stay on track. So a few strategies you can use that will help you go into that meal out more satiated and less likely to slip up and to eat an excessive amount of calories is to make sure you've eaten adequately beforehand. So one mistake many make is to skip meals and to go long periods of fasting on the days they know that they're going out to eat. But often that leads to a situation where you stack the deck against you, as you're going to be exposed to tons of foods when you're out of that restaurant. So going into that situation ravenously hungry is only going to exacerbate your likelihood to overeat, especially when you're exposed and you have access to so many foods. So I suggest continuing to maintain your regular and your same meal schedule prior to a meal out. And if you want to save some calories for that meal, what you can do is simply reduce the carb and fat content of your meals prior to going out to eat. So say that you eat 4 meals per day and you're going out for dinner. So it's going to be your fourth meal a day. In meals 1 through 3, you could simply reduce the carb and fat content of those meals. However, you want to make sure that in all three of those meals, or all the meals that you eat that day prior to going out to eat, that you have a large serving of protein and fiber-containing veggies so that you're satiated throughout the course of the day and you're not entering that meal out starving. I also like to use a liquid preload strategy prior to going out to eat, as this can increase satiety, help to manage hunger and appetite, and has been shown to reduce calorie intake when consumed 30 minutes prior to a meal. So what you want to do is have a minimum of 16 ounces of a non-calorie containing beverage, which could be water or diet soda. Oftentimes, diet soda will actually work a little bit better because due to the carbonation, it's going to cause greater expansion of the stomach, which induces more of a stretch on the gastric stretch receptors in the stomach, which actually sends a signal to your brain that indicates fullness and satiety. So you want to consume that 30 minutes prior to eating, which has been shown to help increase feelings of fullness and lower feelings of hunger in that subsequent meal, so that next meal that follows, which will help you manage your calorie budget better when eating out. So if you're in a fat loss phase and going out to eat, there are always options available that are more aligned with your goal and can minimize excess calorie intake. However, instead of looking for those options, what many do is they get into this bad habit where they kind of go into these situations mindlessly. And so they say F it and they just go for broke when ordering, which blows out their calorie budget and makes them feel guilty as a result of slipping off their nutrition plan. Now, I suggest that if you find yourself in this situation and you feel like you're not being aware before and when you're ordering, I encourage you that Before you slip up and you make an impulsive decision about what you're ordering, that you pause and you ask yourself, is this meal that I'm planning on ordering helping or hindering me in my intent to lose body fat or at least maintain the body fat loss that I've sustained up until this point? It also helps if you look at the menu beforehand and select a meal that is more conducive to your goals prior to getting to the restaurant and when you're not in a hungry state. Because often we order more when we're in a hungry or when we're hungry and we're dealing with issues with appetite. So if you're able to do it, say after you have four meals per day, after meal three, and you're going out for meal four, after meal three, sit down, pull up the menu on your phone, and just go through options and see what sounds good and what fits within your targets and within your food source selections that keep you satiated before going out to eat. As you want to go in with a plan of action so that you have goals and a target to hit and are less likely to veer off course. Then within the meal itself, look to prioritize a large portion of lean proteins and veggies first within the meal that you order out to help you feel satiated and be mindful of the added fat content, which is why I actually, anytime I go out to eat, I always ask that they don't cook with oil or butter because these are just empty calories that are being thrown on the dish. And I also ask that all creams, dressings, and condiments are brought out on the side rather than drenching the entree itself. And one thing that I really like to do is I call it the sweet mustard salad. So all my clients know this. I will alternate salad dressings that generally have between two to, I mean, up to 700 plus calories in a serving. What I'll do is I'll take yellow mustard and I'll add, Splenda or some type of non-nutritive sweetener to it to make almost like a sweet honey mustard that is essentially zero calories. And it really saves you hundreds of calories, yet you're still able to have a condiment and not eat, say, a salad dry. And so overall, employing some of these strategies, these simple strategies when eating out can drastically reduce your chances of slipping off plan and eating a ton more calories than intended. Now, the last topic I want to cover is how to get back on track after a weekend of falling off, as weekends are often the time in which most diet deviations occur. The weekends are usually the time of the week that I find that many struggle with the most in terms of sticking to their diet, especially when they're in a fat loss phase, because now they have much more time. They're less, whether it be distracted or busy with work. And as a result, many can relate to the fact that they've fallen off their diets and eaten in excess during a weekend. And so none of us are perfect, nor should we aim to be. However, what we do need to focus on is being consistent over time in order to see the fat loss results that we desire. So there are a few steps I would suggest taking if you find yourself having fallen off during a weekend and not knowing what to do going forward. So the first step is to get back on track the next day. Don't hold this off. If this is you fall off track on Friday, don't wait till Monday. If you fall off on Saturday, don't wait till Monday. Like, stop putting these things off. Get right back on track. Your goal and objective the day after you slip up should be to get back on plan and back to working towards your goals. Staying preoccupied in the past will not get you to your goals, which is why it's important to focus on the present moment and what you're going to do to improve upon things moving forward. And this isn't to say to act like it never happened, as being aware is a major component of helping to prevent it happening moving forward. However, getting fixated on a mistake will not help you moving forward. It will not get you closer to your goals. So you can't get fixated. You need to focus your attentions on what you can do better going forward. The second step is to reset your mindset. You have to realize that just like one day of dieting is not going to get you shredded, you have to realize that one day of being off plan doesn't make you fat and doesn't bring you back to square one. And that is a mentality and a perspective so many people have that I really try to work on them breaking out of that black and white mentality where they're on plan, they're off plan, they're passed or they're failed. That isn't what this is about. And so it's really important to note, as many will allow one slip up to domino into a long streak of eating anything and everything. And as a result of the fact that they feel like the damage is done, they feel like they should, might as well just keep going. And this is the exact opposite mentality and mindset that you want to have, as this will derail your ability to get to your goals. And the final step is to find the root cause. In order to prevent yourself from slipping up again, you need to first understand why you slipped up in the first place, especially in the context of a weekend. Were you stressed? Were you influenced by a particular person or group to eat something or to drink something? Were you in a food environment that left you exposed to trigger foods that you know it's difficult for you to moderate? These are all questions you need to ask yourself to get to the underlying cause behind your actions. And understanding why it happened is a great way to learn from it and work on preventing it going forward. Also, remember that you're always just one meal and choice away from being back on point with your diet, because dieting for fat loss isn't about aiming for perfection. It's about aiming for progression and consistency over time. And those who can remain consistent over the long term will always be out those who aim for perfection for short periods of time. before they fall off the wagon and swing to the opposite side of the nutrition spectrum, where they're eating anything and everything because they've messed up and they feel like, they might as well just keep going. And it's almost like the same mentality as the analogy of if you got a flat tire, you should focus on fixing that, not slashing the rest of your three tires because something happened along, your journey, which has left you frustrated and discouraged. Last, I just want to cover a quick client case study of a client of mine who struggled heavily with slip-ups, yet over the last 12 weeks of working together, we've been able to significantly improve her dietary consistency and her nutritional adherence. And so this has been a client of mine, Amanda, who I've been working through a primer phase with. And she honestly, she has a really hectic lifestyle. It's very chaotic, especially from a work perspective. And she has a schedule that often throws her for a loop. So initially, when we were working together, I was noticing that she'd do well during the weekends into the early part of the week, but often anytime she hit a work-related obstacle midweek where either her boss gave her an extra assignment or she had a project that was due from, due by the end of the week that wasn't going as planned, or she felt stressed or anxious, she'd veer off plan and her nutrition choices and decisions went from nutrient-dense home-cooked meals to takeout meals and sweets, which she really looked as like almost like a comfort food that she was using as an escape from her problems, but it was so transient and temporary that it actually was causing more problems than she had initially, and it was causing more harm than good. And so every week this happened, I'd see her weight going down each and every day that she was on plan, and then all of a sudden she'd get a big spike in weight after these off-plan meals. And then she'd get extremely discouraged and feel like she was back at square one. So what we did was we sat down and we had a Zoom consultation regarding this. And we discussed her week and went over all the factors that were underlying this issue and underlying this frequent habit. And it turns out that she was someone that was cooking all her meals on a meal-to-meal basis because she works from home. So she liked doing it fresh. And she had never done meal prep in the past. So often what would happen is when she would feel stressed or overwhelmed, she lost her drive to cook. And in order to save time in that specific day that she had a deadline due or whatever it may be, she'd either run across to the convenience store and pick up a bunch of snacks or she'd order takeout essentially. And so in this situation, we needed her to have her meal prep done in advance to rectify the situation. And we found that her likelihood to succeed was based on how we prepped for the upcoming week, the weekend prior. So now every Friday when she checks in, I let her know if there are any specific dietary adjustments being made so that she can add them to her grocery list. And then on Saturday, she goes and grocery shops in bulks. And then on Sunday afternoons, she does all her meal prep for the week, except like veggies and fruit, which I have her buying like frozen versions of that she can simply grab and either heat up in terms of the vegetables, or she can just weigh them out in terms of the fruit within a few minutes. And then she can add them to her meals throughout the week. So overall, in order to improve our body composition by building muscle, losing fat, and maintain those results, we need to focus on our habits and behaviors and incorporate these into our daily lifestyle. This is why I focus heavily on habits with clients, as this lifestyle needs to become one that is habitual and a regular part of your routine, which doesn't require immense amounts of willpower to sustain. And once you continuously repeat the habits associated with improving your body composition, they will become ingrained and will be easier to execute, as they will be things that you're able to do on autopilot, which is what I really try to work towards with many of my clients. Another thing we need to focus on when trying to maintain a lean muscular physique as part of your lifestyle is your mindset. Because just because you've developed better habits towards your nutrition and training that allow you to stay lean, athletic, muscular, and healthy, doesn't mean that you won't face temptations and obstacles and succumb to them from time to time. However, you can't see these slip-ups as failures, which cause you to want to quit the process itself. If you do slip up and you fall off track, you need to be self-aware and realize that you're human and that it happens. You need to give yourself grace, but then also work on trying to prevent it moving forward or doing better moving forward. So leave those mistakes in the past and focus all your energy on getting back on track and back to executing the positive habits that have been serving you well, instead of allowing your focus to drift onto the guilt you feel as a result of messing up. All right, guys, that's it for this week. And as always, thank you for listening to another episode of the Chasing Clarity podcast. If you need anything from me whatsoever, whether that be one-on-one coaching or Zoom consultations, please reach out to me on my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com, or you can find me for daily content on Instagram @BrandonDecruz_. Also, please remember to follow the show, whether that be on Spotify or iTunes. Leave us a review and share this episode on your stories so that we continue to reach more listeners and more individuals that need to hear these type of content and could really benefit from doing so, as I really want to have a positive ripple effect on others, as my goal has always been and will always be to bridge the gap between research and information and practical application so that all of you out there who listen to this show and that consume my content are able to look better, feel better, function better, and live a life that includes walking around with both a better body composition and a mindset of abundance. So that's it for this week. As always, guys, have yourself a great weekend. Peace.